welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin and Paul Tooley.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Ken Spiro, and you are a noted historian for Israel. And I just thought maybe we could start with a little bit of your background, how you came to this point in your life.
Well, actually, I was born in the States. I grew up there. I went to university in America, went to Vassar. And my journey back to Israel is quite circuitous. I was a Russian major in college, and as a graduate student and in Russia, which was in the Soviet Union 30 years ago, it was illegal for a Jewish person to even study the Hebrew alphabet. And I ended up in Russia meeting dozens of 20-something-year-old Russian Jews who were risking their lives just to try and connect any way to Israel or Judaism. And I was so impressed by that, having been raised with very little background myself, that when I finished my studies there, I went off to Israel for 3 months, and my 3 months turned into now 31 years. And
that's wonderful. Now, talk a little bit about your family. Are you married? Do you have children?
Yes, I'm married now 27 years. I have 5 kids. All of them are either in or finished with the Israeli army.
Wow.
And my oldest son is an architect or school now. He was a paratrooper and a medic, and his younger brother was a medic in the Golani Brigade, and I have a married daughter. And I have twins, daughters. One is in a combat unit called Karakal, and the other is going into the Navy in a month.
5 children. Yeah,
3 medics and a nurse.
Now, did you spend some time also serving?
I did. I did, because I came at an older, I did what's called Shlav Bet, which is I did older guy army, which was a truncated training, and then I did 12 years of reserve duty in a combat infantry unit.
Why do you believe it's important to understand history? I mean, you've made that kind of your passion in life.
Well, there's a great quote by Lord Bolingbroke, who was a British lord in the 18th century. He said, "History is philosophy with examples." And that's a general rule about all of human history. You know, it's easy to talk about ideas in theory, but in practice, how they work out. But on a personal, spiritual level, I say history is how God acts in the world. If you want to see how his will unfolds before humankind, you look at the events of human history. And specifically Jewish history, which is the epicenter of really human history.
Yes, it is.
And specifically because it's connected to Scripture, you see an amazing convergence of what was prophesied in Scripture and what's actually happening. And the more you study it, and I live in Israel and I'm very in tune to the past and the present events, it's just amazing how you literally see, like, opening up a newspaper in Israel is literally watching prophecy unfold before your eyes. And when I'm teaching my students, I always tell them, you know, Jewish history is Jewish destiny. You can't know where you're going to as a Jew until you understand where you're coming from. And it really is the guidebook. So I make it my point to make history come alive, not so much with the memorizing of, you know, names and dates, but what are the lessons that we learn from history that we can apply today? Because it's eternally relevant.
Now, you're a rabbi. How did you become a rabbi?
To become a rabbi, it's getting a degree. You just study a certain body of knowledge, take several years, and you pass exams. What I don't have is a congregation. I just have the title. My mother told me it wasn't a good job for a Jewish boy, so I got the title as sort of after studying 4 years full-time in a yeshiva, which is an institute for higher Jewish learning in Jerusalem. The organization that I originally began with was based in the Old City, and I studied with them for 4 years and got rabbinic ordination, and also got a master's degree in history, and I'm a licensed tour guide, so I wear many hats.
Most of us are familiar with the book The Chosen. Would you say that was a fair representation of some of the diverse sects within Judaism?
Well, the author of The Chosen is a very well-known author named Chaim Potok, who is no longer with us, who is a conservative rabbi, which is a different stream of Judaism, which began in the late 19th century in America. And on a superficial level, the book would seem to many Jews that I speak mm-hmm. to as sort of a religious book. The reality is that as a conservative rabbi, there are many issues in that book which I, as a Orthodox Jew and an Orthodox rabbi, would take issue with. So there are significant differences, actually.
And I think that's good to point out, those English teachers out there that might be using that book. It's good to point that out. So as a tour guide, why would it be important? I mean, I know I would love to go to Israel. I haven't been there. But what do you think that brings to the individual that has the opportunity to go there and to visit those places?
Well, the reason why I love guiding is that tour guiding is history class outside with the real props. So just as seeing is believing when you stand in a place, it makes it much more real. Any place where you're doing that, but how much more so in Israel, where there's a spiritual energy there that everyone feels. And to experience the Bible or the history of the land while standing in the land of Israel is like to supercharge your learning experience. So, which is why I love just doing it so much. You can literally pick up the history and hold it and look at it and walk on it and feel it.
What language do they speak there?
It depends where. Most Israelis speak English very well, but Hebrew is the official language of the land of Israel.
So do you speak Hebrew?
I do speak Hebrew, but I guide primarily, and I speak Hebrew, English, and Russian, but I guide primarily in English. Most of my audiences are.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, let's say you're teaching a class in Old Testament history. Do you start at the very beginning? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth?
Absolutely. I always say this is a very famous statement of a great medieval rabbi, the Ramban, Nachmanides, as he's known. And his famous quote is, Maseh avot siman lebanim, that the actions of the fathers are assigned to the children. So if we're learning history as a guidebook, I say the most important part to begin is at the beginning, because all the patterns, all the rules of the game are right there at the beginning of the story. And once you see them, you just notice how they repeat themselves over and over again. And it makes history very much more predictable and controllable, so to speak, when you understand that it follows rules like science. That's how God designed it.
Now, what about this? I know I'm getting a little bit of scope creep here, but this where you words have numerical meaning, and then those meanings can be extrapolated out of there. Do you touch any upon that?
That's called gematria. It's Hebrew numerology.
Okay.
Just as in every letter of the Hebrew alphabet has a numerical value, and you can combine them and compare. If this word has the same numerical value as that word, you can make a connection. There's all kinds of very interesting things done with it. Not really my thing so much. I'm more into the concrete history, but it's extremely interesting.
It is interesting because even when you look from a mathematical perspective in other things, you begin to see so many patterns. I mean, even the design of creation, the fractals that begin to pop out. So why wouldn't God, whose mind is far beyond our comprehension, be able to pull off something like that? I find it very fascinating myself. So we're looking at the book of Genesis, which has so many stories in it. And I don't know, I believe that Moses was attributed to writing it. But what do you know who wrote the book of Genesis?
Well, the basic traditional Jewish belief, when I say traditional, we're talking about Orthodox, which is the original going back version of Judaism, is that the five books of Moses are actually the five books of God dictated to Moses. Moses' position is unique, as he is considered the greatest of all prophets in Jewish tradition. And that he, unlike other prophets like Ezekiel, who sees a vision either when he's conscious or in a trance state or in his sleep and then applies his own words to it, Moses actually hears, so to speak, God's voice speaking to him. So it's really the five books of God as dictated through Moses, who's really just a scribe, although on a very high spiritual level.
Yeah, so you have Abraham coming out, being called out from...
Well, he started in Ur, which is Iraq, and then he was in Haran in Turkey, and then he migrates into Israel before El Al flights.
So he's being called out, and then from him, God talks to him and promises that both spiritual Israel and Israel will at one point number the sands of the sea or the stars. He will not be able to count. Do you find accepting me as a spiritual Israelite, do you find that a real possibility, or is there still that cultural definition that only Israel is the called and chosen?
Well, the Jewish view is interesting in that initially God chose Adam as sort of the sum total of the entire human race, the idea being that God created human beings to have a close personal relationship with him, and that's what the Garden of Eden was about, an ideal state of direct connection to God. And humanity blew it through idolatry. And the Jewish people's view of their role in history is, first of all, everyone is God's children. There's no person who's on this planet Earth for no reason. We all serve a purpose. But from Abraham onward, when humanity, if I could use a football term, fumbled the ball, and the point of creation was lost, and humanity degenerated spiritually and morally into idolatry, and then Abraham chose for himself a unique responsibility. That's what we understand chosen people to mean. It's not chosen for privilege, but a responsibility. The responsibility is to reconnect the human race back to God. So the Jewish people have always viewed themselves as being a unique vehicle to do God's will in the world and be the catalyst to bring the world back to the purpose of creation. But all human beings are, as we say in Hebrew, B'Tselem Elohim. They're made in God's image. And all human beings have intrinsic worth and value. And it's not that we Jews view ourselves as being better. We just view ourselves having a unique role to play in human history.
Yeah. Well, we have to take a break right here. But when we come back, I want to talk about the impact of the Jewish culture on economics and other things. We'll be right back.
Hello. Bullying is a serious problem. When a kid gets bullied, it hurts them inside, no matter what they look like on the outside. Kids kill themselves every day because of bullying. There are many types of bullying, like cyberbullying and in-your-face bullying. This is a serious problem. Those kids will remember it for all their lives if somebody could have helped them but didn't. If you see a kid get bullied, tell an adult or try to help them. It could save a life.
This Kids Talk moment was brought to you by Baltimore White Marsh Adventist School. For more information, go to www.bwmschool.org. That's bwmschool.org.
Mama! Mama, where are you? Mama.
Well, you've heard a lot about Haiti in the news, and the dust has settled now. A lot of the help has left, and there's still a number of displaced children and children with special needs. In fact, it's dramatically increased. We're stretching our resources to provide food, shelter, education, and the medical care that these children need. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I've chosen Restore a Child as the humanitarian organization I'm going to support.
To make a donation, go to www.restoreachild.org or call 877-745-7833. That's 877-745-7833.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Rabbi Ken Spiro. In fact, you can go to the website www.theisraelcourse.com. And I was so interested in the idea that the actual object lesson could be taught so well that you could go to the land of Israel and see where the first biblical events occurred. And we were talking about that, you know, both Israel and spiritual Israel, the children of Abraham, would number the sands of the sea or the stars. Tell me about, let's go a little bit into economics and how the Jewish people have impacted economics throughout history. Explain a little bit about that.
Well, that's a great, that topic is so interesting. I actually created a whole presentation
on
it. It's called Driven. And it's one of the concepts. Judaism believes in an idea called spiritual genetics. Any parent knows that the kids, you know, they inherit the biological traits and the spiritual and personality mm-hmm. traits. They come out a certain way, and that's the way they basically are. And as a parent, your job is to teach them manners and educate them and get them, make sure they become self-sufficient and stand on their own. But the idea in Judaism is that the Jewish people, as children of Abraham, have certain traits that come from who Abraham and Sarah were. And one of them is an intense drive. A drive for meaning. And non-Jews are also driven, but Jews are so disproportionately mm-hmm. driven in this world. And it's not necessarily better, by the way. Drive is a raw force. A driven Jew going in the wrong direction can be very destructive. You know, big stock market scandal like mm-hmm. Ivan Boesky. But on a positive level, you see that for a people who is 0.2% of the world's population, the impact of the Jewish people in the world in so many ways is it just sticks out so disproportionately. The mm-hmm. fact that, you know, Jews are 0.2% of the population, but have won 24% of all the Nobel Prizes since 1900. Mm-hmm. When statistically, they shouldn't have won. You know, and, mm-hmm. and they've always been a huge catalyst for change in the world. And even, you know, my family's from Speyer in Germany, and I found a quote from Bishop Lustiger of Speyer 1,000 years ago. He said, "Wishing to make Speyer into a city, I invited in the Jews." And I don't think he was a big fan of Jews, but he knew that Jews were such a driven, yes. educated, you know, forward-thinking, creative people. You invited a couple hundred Jews into your town, it would just be a catalyst for the economy, to jumpstart the economy, and you could turn it into a city and build a cathedral. Mm-hmm. So that's always sort of been the Jewish energy in history, disproportionately impacting the world. And by the way, you see that in Israel. One of the movies in the course, in the Israel course, is called Israel Inside. And it's an amazing movie showing how here you have a country which is the size of New Jersey with less than 6 million Jews in it, in a constant state of warfare, economic blockade, with no natural resources, having to absorb millions of immigrants, yet there's like more startup, high tech, inventive, creative in so many areas. And it's just a mini laboratory of Jewish drive in action in a very specific period of history.
Now, if a homeschooling family went to your website, or even a, you know, a family that's their children's going to a traditional school, how could they use it to help educate their child?
So the specific course that we created, which is called the Israel course, is a series of 7 films, and each of them deals with a different aspect of Judaism, Israel, history. It's trying to take what is an incredibly long history of almost 4,000 years, an incredibly complicated geopolitical situation, which is the Middle East, and the peace process, mm-hmm. or sadly lack thereof, and making it explainable. And we sort of specialize in really taking what are very complicated issues and making them not only, I wouldn't say simple, but understandable, entertaining, and impactful. So what you can get on the course, for instance, we have one of the movies, which is one I actually do, is basically going through the history of the Jewish people's connection to the land of Israel. It's sort of doing a tour. We talk mm-hmm. about the power of the land. Is literally filmed me walking around the land of Israel while fast-forwarding through different periods of time in mm-hmm. Jewish history to show the Jewish people's ancient and continuous presence in the land.
Fabulous.
Or we have a series of classes which deal with modern political situation, the creation of the state, the Arab-Israeli wars, the peace process. We have this movie Israel Inside, which goes through the incredible dynamism and creativity of the modern state of Israel. So basically, if you do the whole course, you get a tremendous overview of the history, the spirituality, the connection of scripture to the Jewish people, their destiny. Mm. The other class I do, which is called Edge of History, which I know Christian audiences like a lot, is basically on prophecy, the power of prophecy in scripture and Jewish history and the end of days and what's going on in the world today and how we really see a convergence of Middle East current events and prophecy that's forecast in scripture.
Now, we might have some listeners that want to go to that website right now. It's www.theisraelcourse.com, and that will lead you through the things that you might want to check out. So as we're concluding our show, I just wondered, to the Jewish person, is there a difference between their faith and culture and their culture?
That's a great question, actually, because Judaism is a very hard thing to put your finger on. I ask Jews all the time, and I say, what is being Jewish? Is it a culture? Is it a religion? Is it a people? Is it a nation? And like everything in Judaism, there's very few simple answers. And I say, on one hand, the Jewish people are a nation. We have a land, a language, and a history. The problem is we've lived scattered around the world for so many thousands of years, and many Jews don't even know Hebrew or learned it and forgot it. But we're also a religion. But even if you're not a practicing Jew, you're still a Jew. No matter what you do, you always stay Jewish. So it's actually, there's a culture that comes with it, although Jews from different parts of the world tend to have different culture. Although as a shared religious experience, all Jews will keep a Passover Seder, for instance. Yet if you were to sit at a Passover Seder one night and go from a Yemenite Jewish family, my son-in-law is Yemenite. This is a, you know, exotic place in Yemen versus a Jewish family from Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. The core, the text is basically the same, but there's so many subtle nuances and differences. So it's a very, for a little people, because we've been spread out for so long and been around for so long, there's a tremendous diversity of Jewish expression, yet there's a core of what being Jewish is about, which all Jews share, regardless of their level of observance or whether they live in Israel or not, or how much they even know about their own faith.
Well, before we conclude the show, I need to ask, what is your future? What are some things in the future that you're doing or are being involved in?
Well, I'm always involved in creating new educational experiences. The main thing I try and do is, because I wear several hats, I wear the rabbi hat and the historian hat, is what I love to do is take history and put God into it and pick certain specific issues or aspects. For instance, the next presentation that I want to create is basically called "I'll Bless Those Who Bless You and Curse Those Who Curse You," which is the famous sentence that God speaks to Abraham about, and showing how there's a direct correlation between, for instance, how nations that are good to the Jewish people do well and nations that are bad end up suffering, and that the Jewish people have always been, contrary to what's often brought up in anti-Semitic attacks against the Jews, have been a tremendous blessing in so many levels to the world.
Amen. What a great note to end the show on. Make sure you go to theisraelcourse.com, www.theisraelcourse.com. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll catch up again and have another show maybe next year at the same time. You know, I always like to end the show with the phrase, keep thinking or keep learning. But after looking at your website, theisraelcourse.com, and your film in there, Edge of History, I want to leave my listeners with these questions. First, science says we have more than 1 billion years left. Judaism says we have less than 230 years left. Is life eternal? Will life as we know it come to an end? You've been listening to Education Currents. Be sure and like us on our Education Currents Facebook page and consider joining MRG Media in this radio ministry. You can call us anytime at 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783.